Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 397. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, man, doing good.
Well,
all right. So let's just talk about that ending.
It is really an easy starter off topic this week.
Yeah,
to say the least.
You know, you knew Randy was going to turn on Bray Wyatt, right? But one, it came so quickly after a week. No, last week he was staring at the belt. Week before, he said he'd never take out. I mean,
yeah,
and it's out of the blue, decides, now I'm going to burn your shit down. What? Why? Like,
yeah, I mean, the timing of the turn is just really suspect.
Yeah.
You know, it's. And I think that we were talking about last week how there's still, or even the last couple of weeks, there's still plenty of time for these angles to play out. Like,
yeah.
And, yeah, it was just, it's out of the blue. It was so over the top.
Besides the turn, like I said, everyone knew what was going to happen. That's why I don't think it got, unless they were killing the crowd noise, I don't think it got the desired reaction. I think the crowd was kind of like, oh, fine, like, okay, here we go. But I don't think anybody saw it coming this way, where the good guy goes to the bad guy's house and lights his shit on fire. And then, are we supposed to expect or suspect from this that Bray Wyatt murdered his own sister and buried her in a shed? Is that what was implied?
Well, I guess I did not think about how she got there, or you know how her death came about, because I don't feel like Randy Orton really alluded to that part. But she was buried there, so you would have to think that if Bray Wyatt didn't do it, it was someone else in the family?
I don't know. That part, I never expected Sister Abigail to be a real person. I just figured it was the chair, you know? It's like, the Undertaker's got his urn, he's got the chair, you know? And that was sort of implied as well, but then it kept going back and forth. Like, I got a pickaxe. So was that pickaxe, did Randy Orton expose the grave underneath the wood floor?
Yes, because he talked about the worms feeding on her body or something like that.
Okay, because I was going to say, that's the worst, like, cover-up for a murder. I mean, I guess it's in the backwoods of or the swamps of Louisiana, I guess, but still. This was utterly ridiculous and actually kind of stupid. I know everyone's like saying, oh, this was great, but I don't know, man.
SmackDown
is such a realistic show. And then the supernatural bullshit starts and you're like, this doesn't fit. Which will go into a topic we'll get into later, but... Yeah, man, I don't know.
There's always that fine line to me of cheesy good and cheesy bad. And this one fell in the bad category for me. Because everyone kind of laughs at the campiness of the Matt Hardy the stuff. And I feel like rightfully so, but, I mean, Orton isn't doing anything goofy. He's committing arson.
Yeah.
Like, it isn't a robot trying to have sex with a bunch of women,
Yeah.
that carries holograms.
If this doesn't have the element of two men putting their hands on a drone that can teleport them, you know, that's like, I was trying to, like, then we'll talk about it later, but this is, I don't think WWE was going for that. They were doing this in all seriousness. Like, what? And I guess if it was a world funnel like Matt and Jeff Hardy's and Decay and all that stuff, maybe this comes off okay. But it was a sore thumb.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was particularly good. It went on way too long. And the constant camera changes, like filmed like a 90s music video or Taken 3, as everyone's likes to use now. It kept going back and forth, the shots and shots and shots, and then they had to get, of course, they were going for the iconic pose at the end with Orton doing his pose and burning a shed. And I don't know, it was just weird. I kept expecting Eric Rowan to stop it, because he's cleared now.
Oh, okay.
So maybe they'll save him for WrestleMania, but I kept expecting him to stop it and then break it, you know, gets his revenge next week. You know, they throw and drags it back or something.
Yeah, it did stick out quite a bit, like you said. Like, if there was more goofy shit, and honestly, I think we kind of, I don't know if we talked about it, but TNA also has that ridiculous wedding angle going on too. Like, we might have just talked
that
about...
Ended. That ended last week.
Well, it did end last week, but you were talking about how, like, the goofiness of the Hardy stuff was somewhat matched by the goofiness of that whole wedding angle shenanigans.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least you had a couple of goofy things on that show. Like, this show, like you said, like, it was the... It really didn't help that it was the main event. And it's also weird that they had already, earlier in the show, determined a number one contender for the title. And, strangely enough, it wasn't Luke Harper. They certainly are sending some type of signals that he might wrestle Shane, but... Yeah, I don't know if they pulled the trigger on the Randy Orton stuff so that they could get to that stuff.
That's what I think this is. There's still 5 weeks before WrestleMania, so there's going to be a lot of changes coming up. And, you know, if they're going to go with Shane and AJ Styles, then fine. This is a fine way of doing it. To get him out of there, because, I mean, if Randy Orton says he's using his title opportunity, then he gets the match. And it kind of, you know, makes AJ null and void in this one, because he's never gotten his one-on-one rematch at all.
Oh.
So then he'll be mad at Shane, I'm sure.
Okay.
And, you know, then you get Shane and AJ. So it's like, all right. And, but for me, I don't want to get away from this end segment too quick, but I want to know what happened to Luke Harper, or what's going to happen to Luke Harper. And I guess he can still be part of this because, you know, Bray lost everything, so he can always try and make amends with Harper, and Harper will tell him to go screw himself, you know?
yeah.
But
That's just another aspect of what makes the turn for Randy Orton weird at this point. Like, there's... not really been a beef between Harper and Wyatt for that long, just because he chose not to attack him. He was just attacking Randy Orton at first.
Yeah.
So I
mean, he finally said the hell with this and, you know, went after Bray last week. So.
Right.
Was it 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So, man, I mean, that angle is only 2 weeks old, so I mean, it just kind of seemed like that would fit in the equation somewhere.
But here's this thing, and maybe we haven't seen like an active, I'm going to use main event scene, but we haven't had an active main event scene. Like, Raw doesn't really have one. It's, you know, everyone's in their feud right now, where SmackDown's just kind of chaos. AJ doesn't really have anybody to feud with. Let me get my... I'll put Luke Harper in there. I mean, he's in the storylines. Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, you know, Cena, you know, he's bumped himself down, but you've got all these different guys that are involved in the same storyline where Raw's, you know, outside of Jericho and Owens, there's not a whole lot going on. You know, every feud's kind of like individualized. So maybe we're just not used to this. We're not used to this kind of storytelling right now. You know, it's been ages since, you know, he had Mick Foley, Triple H, Rock, and Steve Austin all going around the championship. So it's just different. I think one of the problems that I'm having with this one, though, is Bray Wyatt didn't do anything wrong. Like, people are cheering him last week and the week before when he won the title, and he didn't do anything to Randy Orton at all. Randy Orton even said himself, yeah, if you can't beat him, join him. It's like, okay. So then Randy goes and does all this stuff, and it's like, well, you're a dick. You're a quitter, a loser, and a dick. So, and now an arsonist, as you pointed out. So why the hell am I going to cheer for you? Like, what did Bray Wyatt do? Except take you in because you wanted to join him.
Yeah, and treated him well from all, yeah. Picked him over Harper. I mean, it's... it's just a strange, strange thing that they set up. Like, there's not a whole lot that... Because people were kind of cheering, and it was weird, like, people were kind of cheering Orton, and I guess I didn't quite get that.
Yeah. Honestly, that was a heel turn on Orton's part. And I know he's the Viper or whatever, but still, I mean, I don't know. SmackDown's just kind of a bunch of jerk-offs anyways. If you really look at how everybody acts on that show, it's kind of hard to, like, go, well, I need to cheer for this guy. Well, no, everyone's just kind of a dick. I mean, that first segment with Cena and The Miz, my God, who did you hate more? I mean, I guess you're supposed to hate The Miz more because he wouldn't let Cena talk, but when Cena did talk, it was like, yeah, you're a dick, too.
Yeah.
And then your wife just comes out and attacks the other chick. It's like, okay, I get that why, but...
She didn't attack her because she ran before she could attack.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you get the backstage segment, Alexa Bliss being a dick. And then another dick walks in Natalya. And then I guess Becky Lynch is the only one I can think of. Like, and I guess Dean Ambrose, he was fun this week too, but I mean, he goes in and beats up Kurt Hawkins out of the blue. Dick move.
Yeah, they do love the DDT length match for Dean Ambrose, so that he can then talk.
Yeah, who are we missing? Like, the Usos weren't on, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I watched the night show, so. Yeah.
American Alpha was advertised for talking smack.
Yeah, which is funny because Chad Gable, I think he's from Minnesota, so they didn't even get a match on SmackDown. Okay, I guess. Unless something went wrong or long or whatever, but yeah, just SmackDown's just full of a bunch of petty people. And but it's way entertaining. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, that segment is one of their bad ones, but, like, every other one that you mentioned, I really enjoyed the performance. You know, during that opening segment, I liked The Miz, and I liked John Cena. Like, they... Cena has been involved in so many, you know, kind of lifelike storylines, I guess.
Yeah.
It is easy to, you know, I think The Miz kind of concentrated on some stuff that maybe AJ Styles didn't. But, you know, it was still good work on his part.
The Miz certainly carried his end of the mic on that. And he, like, as much as some people will probably say, like, he was hitting, like, reality, he was peppering that stuff with enough ridiculous statements. Like, just saying he's better than John Cena, he works harder than John Cena. He does, it's like,
that Cena had thwarted him thousands of times.
Yeah, and then he cost him millions of dollars, I think he said.
Yeah.
And other film opportunities, and you're like, okay. So I thought he was pretty good, though. I mean, that's an effective heel move.
Yeah.
You say something that you think you believe in, and then you peppered it with a bunch of untruths. So, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I liked all of the dicks. Like, Alexa Bliss cracks me up.
Yes.
Every week. She is just such she's kind of that classic snotty bitch kind of personality, and she does it really well.
Well, you know what's funny is, when she was standing there, wait, was it Charlie that was interviewing her?
I think so.
Alright, so when she was interviewing, or waiting for Charlie to interview her, she's just kind of looking like she looked out of character. Like, she just kind of stood there soft. She didn't have that resting bitch face thing going.
Oh.
But as soon as it was time for her to get into character, boom. It was like, holy shit, she's pretty mean. And just immediately goes into character. Like, she's really, I meant to say she's really good. I mean, really good at playing a character, which is probably got, you know, some sort of reality base to it and her dickishness, but still, I mean, it's, I don't know, I enjoy Alexa Bliss. I don't know if she's that great in the ring yet, but I enjoy watching her, and I enjoy listening to her, so.
yeah.
Natalya just, if there's a heel in that feud, it's going to be Natalya, because as soon as she got in the picture, it was an immediate, ugh. No. Just God, go away.
I was half wondering if SmackDown was trying to set up its own version of a four-way women's match for WrestleMania.
Oh, wow, you think they'd do that? With Raw possibly doing that?
I don't know.
God, that's a lot. Man, and we'll talk about this later on as it gets closer, but there's going to be a lot of matches on WrestleMania. I mean, a lot. I mean, including all the pomp and circumstances, how long is WrestleMania going to be this year? Holy crap.
It's not any longer than the one that we attended. I think that's about the maximum. Because
I don't know
what was that. Is that 7 hours?
We say seven, six, or seven. I think. Yeah. I think it was six because the show was four, and then the pre-show was 2 hours. Right? Yeah, 7 to 11. Well. 6 to 10, whatever. Yeah. Well, but,
okay.
Yeah. But anyways.
Yeah, I would imagine around 6 hours. But I mean, it's they're gonna have more matches. I guess that's why I was just throwing that out, because they still threw out Naomi's name in there. Becky Lynch was involved, and they brought Natalya into it. It could just be a three woman. Match with Natalya, Becky Lynch, and Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, but I said, where's Becky James go then? He didn't bring her back, not the user.
Yeah. You know?
So, but anyways, I'm trying to think, like, I don't know. The one thing I was actually upset about, one, yes, because he lost, but two, I didn't understand why they ended or how they ended this match the way they did. So AJ gets the Phantom pin on Luke Harper. And I was like, oh man, they're not dragging this out another week. Shane immediately comes down. I was like, no, it's clearly on the rope. And they actually hinted around at the beginning of the show that no, it's pretty obvious AJ Styles fell first. And I was like, okay, good. So Shane's not a total idiot. And they actually do have TVs I can watch.
Oh,
but
right.
Then I didn't get the clean pin. I know they gave Harper the offense the entire match, and I kind of figured because of that he was losing. Right.
Right.
But I didn't get that at all. I figure. I know there's supposed to be the hint of interference. Not interference. Well, in a roundabout way. That distracted Harper so that AJ could do all that stuff to him.
Right.
But it just seemed weak. I'd rather just have him outright cheat or do something. You know, have the referee jump out of the ring, check on Shane, and AJ hit him with a bell or something, you know? You want AJ to be booed, well, let him do some heel shit. But
yeah.
Because I mean, honestly yelled, what the fuck was that about? Like, I didn't get it. Like a madman, but
yeah, and I mean it doesn't fit in with the narrative either, like the main event narrative. Like there's, you know, as we, you know, Harper just really disbanded from the Wyatts. Like he's the one who's logically in the match.
Yeah.
With
he fits in that match perfectly. Like, I don't know. I expected.
And again, like, well, you were talking about a lot of matches. Like, that match, it isn't going to be that big of a deal on that card. The SmackDown, the WWE Championship is definitely not getting top billing.
They keep talking about how that's the main event. And I can't see that being the main event. I automatically figured that Goldberg and Lesnar was the main event of WrestleMania. And I guess I have a bigger, you know, idea of it, but I don't. After Fastlane, I mean, but that's the only one that seemed like a legit main event. Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, not so much. I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, it still somewhat feels forced that Bray Wyatt finally won the championship. I mean, that's kind of another aspect to Orton turning on him. Like, it hasn't really sunk in that Wyatt's champion. I mean, it's only been 2 weeks now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess this would be week three technically, but
yeah.
But yeah, no, it's like Eric said, you know, it seemed like it was 3 years too late. Like to have that big impact, and then when did it end, like the chamber and all that stuff, I don't know. But yeah. It doesn't seem big enough.
No. No, any time you win in that match and you aren't continuing the feud, it doesn't seem right. You know, because a lot of people lose it at Elimination Chamber and then wrestle that person at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or they move on from that feud. So, I mean...
Yeah. I don't know, I guess they need to explain, well, I mean, I guess he's the Royal Rumble winner, the Royal Rumble winner gets the main event slot, so, I don't know, maybe we're underestimating this because they also had a main event that we were there for of Randy Orton, Batista, and Daniel Bryan, so, maybe we're looking at it the wrong way, but, it's just, I don't know, so... And then I forgot, I forgot about the Dolph Ziggler Apollo Crews match. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So. That was one that I'm just like, I feel bad for Apollo Crews. The only thing I typed after that was, I don't understand why this outcome happened.
Yeah.
Ziggler's dead in the water at this point. Like, you guys killed him. Like, why did he finally win after you guys killed him? Like, they've killed him as a babyface for the last, I don't know how many years, and then he finally turns heel and they kill him right off.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate.
That was one thing. Apollo Crews, not a dick. I think we need to make sure that's pretty clear. He hasn't really done anything dickish.
This is true.
Yeah. Where, as I think Shane and I pointed this out on one of our We Watched Us, Dolph Ziggler is a bad guy wearing the American flag on his tights. It's almost as if Dolph ordered those, and then they were like, hey, you're going to turn heel. Well, I just ordered new gear, so I'm definitely wearing this. And everyone's like, all right, we're not going to argue with you. But,
Yeah, I mean, that does seem like what happened, because it was new gear, and the change happened.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like Dolph Ziggler just sucks the life out of me. I don't even want. I just mentioned it just because it was a match on the show, and it's unfortunate to where how big a fanboys we were for him, and now just talking about him just drains me. It's like I don't care. I don't care about the character. None of it. It's a missed boat, missed opportunity, I guess, but it is what it is.
Oh, so. Yeah. For everyone involved, like,
yeah,
you know, Apollo Crews just needs something new, like, whether it's shipping to Raw, which he doesn't really need, he really needs a reboot after losing that match.
Yeah. I don't know why they brought up Apollo Crews if they had nothing for him, which I think has been pretty obvious, right?
Unlike Neville, he didn't just get thrown straight into the right into the 205 Live. Like, no one's even kind of mentioning that. Like, that's the only thing that could help him, is just move him there. They could probably use another kind of, I mean, he had some exposure on the regular programs before 205 Live. Not quite as much as Neville, but, you know, his services need to move along to somewhere else.
Yeah. I guess, well, we need to talk about TNA, but we need to discuss Raw as well, because I thought Raw had a bunch of shorter matches, but I thought Raw flowed pretty well this week, even ending with that ridiculously cool contract signing on both guys' parts. I mean, you know, people bag on Roman Reigns, but I thought it was pretty sweet how they were fighting. One went to sign a contract, he beats the hell out of the other guy, he tries to sign the contract, and then they do, and it's like, yeah, this is cool. These are two giant hosses fighting the hell out of each other. This is great. And did you see that gif of Roman Reigns giving Strowman a spear through a table in Germany?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. All right, let me find that. I thought I sent you a direct
No, but that it. Was one of the funnier things to happen was that security guard getting taken through the barricade on Raw,
yeah.
With Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns, and like,
yep.
Because I mean, Strowman is you know, next level large. But I remember when Reigns came down just a few rows or a few seats beside us when the Shield was doing their gimmick. And he is a very large gentleman.
Yes.
So, yeah. It's hilarious that Strowman kind of dwarfs him. But, you know, Reigns has had some dickish moments in this, even in this feud. But, that moment, was definitely not one of them. You know, you enjoyed the fight, the fact that he crawled back over and decided to sign the contract. And, I mean, it kind of showed him recovering from the beating that Strowman gave him, too. Although they didn't quite sell that as much on the commentary, in my opinion. But
all right, check your Twitter. I just sent it over to you. But
minor stunt grenades.
No, you. I sent it to you.
Oh, okay.
And, I don't know, man. You can boo Roman Reigns all you want. His character kind of stinks, but I was enjoying the hell out of those two guys fighting each other. And I was thinking, you know what? And this is going to get a lot of shit. If that was for the Universal title at WrestleMania, let those two guys go at it. No disqualification, whatever. Falls count anywhere's match, whatever they can do. I'd watch the hell out of that thing. I can't wait to see this in Fastlane. One, because I want to see what these two brutes are going to do. But then also, I don't know who's going to win. It serves no purpose, Braun Strowman losing. And yeah, I'm a super fan. But he is, by not allowing him to lose and not allowing him to look that terrible on TV, if you will, they've created something that they had no idea they were creating.
Oh.
And he's not polished by any means, but no. He's fucking awesome right now. And I know Reigns is supposed to have, you know, Undertaker, WrestleMania, and I guess it's possible they could have Undertaker interfere, or the lights go out, like the dong, and whatever, it distracts Roman Reigns. Then Strowman beats him, so that's the catalyst of this. Just something. Or, you know what, screw it. Just have it be a vicious-ass double count-out. And I think if the match is long enough, I'll take back long enough, but I think if the match is vicious enough, people aren't going to care. As long as these two guys beat the hell out of each other, not going to care.
Like, that's one of those times that, to me, that's normally when you can sell that kind of finish. Is, two large guys really beating the tar out of each other, and then neither just being able to recover.
Yeah. I guess the problem with that, though, what can they possibly do after Monday? I mean, I think that was kind of the point, was what's going to keep these guys down? All right. I dare you. I dare you to come up with something that will keep them down. And I'm just hoping it's not one of those that's on during The Walking Dead, because they always do that shit. Yeah. They put something you really want to see on during that time slot. So.
Yeah. I was already going, man. I got to pull double duty again on that one.
Yeah. Well.
So.
Walking Dead always takes priority because, I can go back and watch this whenever. Which, I guess you can do the next day with Walking Dead, but still. I don't know, but the rest of the card's kind of shaped up pretty good. Fastlane looks like it could be pretty good on paper. So. And I just wish that Owens character would have been this character almost from the onset. And I know, it's leading into Jericho and Owens match at WrestleMania or feud. But I kind of wish we had the super serious Kevin Owens the whole time. I liked him a lot better. He's more believable, too. So.
I mean, he definitely would have been presented as a different type of champion had he been serious the whole time.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, so. You know, it kind of is what it is. And, yeah, it's another one where it's a pretty interesting. I mean, I guess I still think Goldberg wins this one.
I don't think there's any chance he doesn't. Although it's kind of dickish that he would come out. I guess he belongs on SmackDown. It's kind of a dickish thing to come out. I guarantee you I'm going to win. It's like. that's never good. I mean, we're all kind of conditioned that you're going to win anyways. Damn, dude, don't come out and ruin it. I mean, unless it goes what I was talking about with you and Chris, that causes Brock Lesnar to come out and screw him out of the title. It's still pretty dumb, but at least he'll say, well, I guess you can't keep your guarantees or something. I don't know. Pretty thin. I know. Pretty thin.
So. Yeah. That would be pretty thin material for Paul Heyman to have to support.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Damn.
I don't know.
We have Fastlane, and then that's it. We got our road to WrestleMania.
Oh.
With no roadblocks and. I guess, are we back in the cruising lane after this? Instead of the fast lane?
Yeah, it did kind of crack me up that they couldn't name the Elimination Chamber a speed event or a driving event so they can continue the road to WrestleMania.
Well, yeah,
shenanigans.
Was it last year it was Roadblock, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So, you know what's funny? I was actually watching the Wyatts versus the Shield. From Elimination Chamber, I think it was, 2-3 years ago now. Uh-huh. And it's funny how over all those guys were. Even Eric Rowan was getting big pops. And what was crazy to me was how much cooler Roman Reigns was back then. He was just a badass. He didn't speak much. But he's basically saying the same things. So I don't know why they decided to try and make him likable. Because the fans already kind of liked him. But, you know.
Yeah, can't help you on that one.
Yeah, that's a weird decision. If you want someone to be the guy, just let him keep going. Just keep going with what you're doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's any recovery from that one either.
Yeah. I guess we should talk about TNA.
Yeah, you seemed like you wanted to talk about that one. Because, yeah, I mean, like you said, Raw flowed better, but there still wasn't anything that really stood out to me outside of that.
No, I mean, not really.
Because the women are just kind of working towards their four-way. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I don't care about Triple H and Seth Rollins.
But. Well, no. I mean, it wasn't exactly a newsworthy show. I mean, the Seth Rollins thing, kind of the Randy Orton thing, he went way too long for the inevitable conclusion that okay, he's gonna be at WrestleMania, and it didn't get the pop because I think the crowd was smart enough to realize, well, he's here. He hasn't said dick, so yeah, I guess he's gonna be at WrestleMania. The vulnerability of saying, maybe I brought this all on myself, that seemed kind of out of character, and it just kind of fell flat. I mean, especially when some of the people in the crowd start chanting CM Punk, which, it's just, as a TV viewer, it's just annoying now. It's like, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I just didn't get that one at all.
No, it's just a bunch of dicks in the crowd. I don't know. It's the Steve Austin, the one chance. Honestly, if you're a wrestling fan, that's got to be something you know, I'm sure there are other, you know, more important events in wrestling history, but to go back and smack the shit out of Steve Austin for even suggesting that, like, don't do that to somebody, please. Thank you. So, but yeah, but TNA, man, I'm about to lose Pop TV anyways, so I have to figure out how I can watch them. Yeah. But one of the main reasons that I do want to watch is gone. Followed by another guy who's actually pretty good in TNA, Drew Galloway. And now news just came tonight, Mike Bennett and...
Maria Kanellis?
Yeah, I kept wanting to say Melina. It was right. Maria Kanellis, she's gone too. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, what the hell was going on with the contract situation to where, I mean, unless they offered to let people go, I mean, cost cutting maybe, but, you know, Mike Bennett never really, he came in as the miracle, okay, but he never really got, he got a push, but you don't name some guy the miracle and then have him on the sidelines, like, or not the sidelines, but just not that directly involved in things. I mean, he was for a little bit.
Right.
And then his wife just took over everything. And then he was just the drunk guy going along with the wedding plans. Which, that's not exactly the guy called the miracle should be doing, but...
Yeah. the miracle does not drink that much beer. Or else he doesn't have...
Was he drinking champagne?
Oh, he was having champagne, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I'm confused what's going on with this company because, for one, I don't see Mike Bennett going to WWE, not with his wife, so I can see him going back to Ring of Honor, possibly New Japan. Drew Galloway, I guess he's already doing his independent dates that he's been doing. I get the feeling he'll end up back, he'll end up in WWE again.
It seems like he may have learned a thing or two in his time away, and we kind of talk about it. The WWE just has more time to fill, and that's why actually it was so shocking tonight about Curt Hawkins. I'm like, man, they brought that guy back instead of Shelton Benjamin, and he hasn't gotten dick for TV.
Well, no, remember, Shelton Benjamin got hurt.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But so essentially they signed him, though, because Benjamin got hurt. It was going to be out, it was 6 to 8 months, wasn't it? Like, that was
He should be right ready to come back, if he's coming back now.
Oh, right.
Because he got hurt off their dime. So I don't know if they paid for his stuff or if he had to. I don't even know what the deal is there, but it's the Curt Hawkins thing. I thought he was doing pretty well on the indies. I think he was even doing Japan dates, so unless they made him a really good deal, he's been an utter waste for them. I mean, they even had all those vignettes with him. I mean, they're goofy, and then just like Chuck Norris facts, whatever. But he comes out, doesn't wrestle, and then loses. And it's like he's been losing ever since.
Yeah. And that's when he even gets on TV.
Yeah, right.
But I was just going to say the WWE always needs more people. I was thinking they could use Galloway, but I'm like, man, I don't know. Something like that happened to Hawkins. I guess that Galloway at least had a higher profile in the WWE before departing, even if his kind of stock started really high with the Vince McMahon thing and then just steadily dropped from that point forward.
Which is a three-man band.
Yeah.
Which I guess they could resurrect that with just him and Rhino and Heath if they wanted to. But yeah. But I think that'd be a waste because I thought he was pretty good in TNA. And that was apparently where his actual skill level was. It just wasn't utilized in WWE at all. I'm like, all right, so I just give it a chance, I guess. But no, I don't. I look at TNA. We talked about this before, but you watch that show. A lot of guys in black tights still.
And I guess it kind of. You mentioned it about all these guys leaving. Not depending upon someone else's talent in the long run might be a good idea for TNA.
Okay.
Like if they really feel like they're starting from scratch, I don't think it's a good idea. Because really, like you said, Bennett, he doesn't really have much anywhere. Well, he has Ring of Honor to go back to. You know, because I still haven't been impressed with him ever at any point. And I guess I still haven't seen, honestly, much of his his work in TNA, because I just kind of tuned out. You know, I've caught some of this stuff recently, but yeah, like he wasn't that good in ROH when I was watching it, and he didn't seem to fare any better in TNA, which you know, that's saying whatever. I don't know what that's saying really, since it's TNA.
Yeah, I don't know how losing like it. This isn't like a DJ Z or a Jesse Goddard or Robbie E or even, you know, just those guys. The Hardys were the only thing that people talked about with TNA in a somewhat positive manner. So to lose them, you know, and then losing Mike Bennett, who is a talented guy in the ring, and then losing Galloway, who's gotten good on the mic and in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, that seems like a big blow.
Yeah, the Hardys part is definitely a huge blow.
Yeah.
right off the bat. And I mean, that's one of those ones that that one's so significant, I'm not sure if they can, like, with my little pet theory there, like, I'm not sure that you can you necessarily have the time to recover from that.
Well, especially when the people that you just, your negotiations broke down, are your tag team champions. And did you read about the situation, what they wanted them to do?
They requested that they hand the belts over?
No. The Hardys offered to drop the belts, you know. Do the right thing, all right?
Oh.
Well, okay. Jeff, Anthem, wanted them to commit to a short-term contract, being that if they record 7 weeks of TV, okay, even though they only worked that one match that one night, they couldn't appear on anybody else's TV for 7 weeks. And the Hardys very rightfully said, no! That's stupid. Why would we do that? You're basically taking money out of our pocket doing it that way. After already trying to take 10% of their indie booking fees? Fuck you. Are you crazy? No. I mean, your guarantee up front would have to be 20% more to cover the 10% we're giving you. And just the basic principle of that is infuriating. You guys can't get your shit straight, so you're going to try and steal money out of my pocket? No. I can understand if you're up and coming in the business, and TNA's good for TV because they are on pop. You know, they're seeing their 400,000 a week, but...
No, down to 275,000.
Huh?
The last number I saw was 275.
Oh, it got that bad, really? Okay.
It was 325 the week before, I believe.
Yeah, something was bad then, but...
Yeah.
I just thought that was dirty, and...
Yeah.
I totally get it, because I can't imagine what the Hardys are doing. Matt, well, him and Jeff, both of them, what they're getting on the indie circuit here.
A lot.
I would think. So, I don't know.
They don't have any need for TNA. They have their... I'm sure that they have plenty of money. And people are gonna... Like, if they decide to do a pay channel, like, I... That would be the thing for them, to me. Just do a Hardy's Wrestling channel and just... That's all. Always record from the Hardy compound.
You know, I almost wonder... I don't know if they'd have the money to pay people to do it, though. Unless they got ad revenue through YouTube or something. But I almost wonder if that's something they could do. Because I know, you know, the big talk is them going to WWE, you know, after today with Bray and Randy, where do you think their goofy shit fits in? I mean, one, would they be the Broken Hardys, or would Vince and Triple H want them to be Team Extreme, which would be ridiculous? Because I honestly think the majority of the people, well... Maybe I'm misspeaking here. I think the majority of the people that watch wrestling now know the Hardys as being the Broken Hardys.
Oh.
And, you know, Matt's goofy gimmick, Jeff sometimes go along with the gimmick and the other times forgetting. So to have them come out with their old music and doing all that stuff, I think that's a hard sell. But then, you're going to tell me that they're going to teleport with Vanguard 1 to get in the ring with, like, I don't know, American Alpha or something? So it... I think you're onto something with that.
I haven't seen anybody
mention something like that.
I'm all for, like, yeah, let SmackDown be the goofy show. Because, I guess that's another thing that we didn't really talk about much with the Bray Wyatt thing, is that they honestly had gotten away from a lot of the goofy shit with Bray Wyatt, so that was the other reason why that angle was kind of weird. But, I mean, if the WWE wants to weird it up, SmackDown's going to be the place that's going to weird it up, man. They are not doing that on Raw. Even if SmackDown is getting a similar number of viewers.
Yeah, didn't they actually beat them 1 week? One or two?
Yeah. I don't pay attention enough to know for sure, but I know that they have beat them at least once.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I enjoy the Broken Hardy stuff. It started... Remember when it started off, like, bad? And we were all just looking like, what is this garbage? And then once you kind of, like, get the universe, if you will, but if you, like, get the gist of it...
Yeah.
And start to understand these characters...
Well, and that was the other thing, is that they kind of needed to build what they had, like... Because just having Matt there maybe wasn't quite enough. You add Brother Nero and Senior Benjamin.
Ruby. I'm sorry, Ruby. Rebby.
Rebby and King Maxwell.
Okay, and don't forget Vanguard 1 as well.
Vanguard
1. I mean, you've got a whole little world of characters. I mean, hell, even what was deleted? No. What was the final one where they had a tag team
Apocalypse Go?
That was where they had like Lashley and Eddie Edwards fighting all over the woods, right?
Yeah.
All right, so they tried to even incorporate that, and damn it, it sort of worked. They had their match in that little awful, you know, hall,
right?
And then they just fought all over the place. Which at the time I was like, well, what the hell even happened to them? But,
and then they go fighting through one scene, and then they end the show with them.
Yeah, and that was it. And you're like, oh, it kind of fit.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a fun way to tell a story. Like, I mean, you can't tell that most of the time in wrestling. Like,
no.
It was an unconventional and interesting way to do work. Yeah.
And I can't see Dutch Mantel and Jeff Jarrett, you know. Dutch Mantel's a smart guy, but I can't see him, like, going, oh, yeah, I get it. Like, I don't think you do, man.
Well, so. And then that's kind of another thing that I had forgotten about. They had mentioned bringing him back, and I'm like, was TNA that much better when he was around? Like, you know, enough that I'm going to go, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm really counting on TNA to turn this ship around.
Yeah.
Like, he was never Paul Heyman, in my opinion. Like, who at least had, even if looking in hindsight, ECW looks a little crazy. Like, it really, I mean, I remember how much I loved it. So, I mean, it at least captured some people's imaginations at the time period. I don't see Dutch Mantel doing that now. And definitely not Jeff Jarrett either.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing, man. Look how low TNA is, creatively, and from a writing standpoint. These guys come in and make it average. They're going to look like geniuses. You know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a no-lose situation for them.
Yeah.
But I do think we're definitely going to see a change. I guarantee that. We're going to see something totally different. Like, maybe how a debuting faction shouldn't lose every single match they have.
Holy
crap.
I couldn't believe that. I'm like, oh, okay, so the DCC is finally going to get this one, right? I'm like,
nope.
Oh my god, they lost this match too.
And at first it was just Eddie Kingston. I was like, okay. And then Ron Ram starts losing. I was like, oh my god, forget it. I just don't care. It's like, James Storm shouldn't be in TNA anyways, but dumbass.
Never feel sympathy for James Storm.
No, it's hard to now.
Especially when his wife was smart enough to go to the WWE.
James Storm's wife.
Oh, hold on. Is he not married? Who's married to Mickie James?
Oh, that was Magnus.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had the wrong guy.
Yeah, no, Magnus.
That's
remember,
right.
James Storm is the one that pushed Mickie James off the train
the platform. Yeah.
Yeah. She somehow survived and he didn't go to jail.
Well, Randy Orton's not going to go to jail for arson, so.
Okay, so here, let's go back to that for a second, now you say that. So, yes, arson, but then also, isn't he possibly destroying a crime scene?
Yes. If the police never knew that someone who was murdered was buried somewhere, he is definitely destroying a crime scene.
Okay, that's what I thought, so it's... So here's how you sell, like, yeah, it really is just with the Hardys, and even this Randy Orton thing is, I think now when you're presenting things as more of a sporting environment, which I'm sure, you know, WWE didn't want to do, but you've got your basic feuds. So then you're going to have Randy Orton burning shit down, then you're going to possibly bring the Hardys in. With their robot, 3-year-old baby wrestling. I mean...
Well, I still don't think the baby's gonna happen. I said that when, you know, the question was, how would this work in the WWE? I don't see the WWE letting that fly still.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can do everything else. Like, I don't see a problem with anything else. Like, I would believe that they would think there would be too much liability with the 2-year-old or 3-year-old child in the ring.
Although it would be kind of funny, I just thought of this, if they somehow they did show up and they went to SmackDown and Shane goes up to talk to Matt and Matt just says, "You're not the meek behind I'm looking for," or something like that. just for the hell of it. But I don't know. I love Lucha Underground because it's goofy. It's always goofy. Yeah. WWE's not that goofy. And with TNA, that's the only good part, is them. So.
Oh, yeah. Because I've watched the last 2 or 3 shows, and I mean, yeah, outside of that Hardy stuff, it's a train wreck. I mean, I kind of enjoyed the wedding stuff this past week in a definite fun kind of train wreck way.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the end of that wedding because you had Braxton Sutter in the alley, who I did not know were married, awkwardly kissing each other while everybody else is fighting in the background. And what was the girl's name? Laurel?
Yeah.
Right? Is just screaming. And I thought, like, the camera angle was really good when they, like, did the pull-out shot to establish the chaos that happened at the end of it. So, I gotta give kudos for that, because I thought they captured it pretty well, but...
Yeah.
I don't care what the follow-up is this week, though. I can't care any less. So...
No, I mean, I didn't care about the other segments, honestly, on that show itself. But that ending was worth a watch.
Yeah.
So,
Aaron Rex, Damien Sandow. What? Huh?
He's on my list of how did I see something in this guy? I'm confused.
Yeah, I totally lost on that. But I know they're going for something interesting, or just something different. Excuse me.
Oh, and but, you know, I guess another one because he was on at the beginning of TNA. I like the idea that Cody Rhodes is the American Nightmare, obviously aping off of his father's legacy. The problem I find with it is that it's about 92 gimmicks too late, and I just look at it as another gimmick for him that he's going to grow out of at some point. And I can't take that guy as an ass-kicking guy seriously because he is still among the smaller wrestlers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Cody's been going by the American Dream all over the, or American Nightmare all over the place since he turned heel. So, you know.
Well, yeah, I caught him on Ring of Honor, I think, first is it.
I think that's where it was first, yes.
Yeah, but then he was just on this past week with...
Yeah, and...
But I mean, his angle on there made almost no sense. So, whatever. Like, he's being written at least okay on Ring of Honor as part of the Bullet Club there, so...
Yeah, and it's...
Not being written well for in TNA. Yeah. I mean,
well, he's not even under contract with TNA. He just has dates, specific dates.
Oh, right.
So I can't imagine he's going to stick around that shit show. Unless Anthem did. I guess it's all a matter of money, and Anthem has money, so, you know, they're not, obviously not McMahon levels or even, you know, Ted Turner levels, but they have money to pay guys.
Oh, right.
You go where the money is. But he seems to be pretty damn busy all the time. So I can't imagine him staying there. So yeah, I was just trying to see if there was anybody else.
Yeah, but I mean...
Actually, Bennett and Canellis, theirs expired in 2016. They've been working on a per-date basis. Oh. That would explain why he doesn't wrestle. And pretty smart for him, actually. So.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I guess it'll be interesting to see what happens with TNA. I mean, we thought that their demise would come. They actually have a new owner. I'm not sure that they have solved any of the Dixie Carter problems that came with the product. But I don't know. Maybe all this changeover will change something. I obviously have my doubts.
I do too, but it's got to be better than what's been going on since late 2015. And I mean, any improvement, the slightest improvement, is a big improvement for them. And it starts with the talent, but I don't know what talent they can bring in that's out there that's going to want to go there, especially with the salary structure they're putting in place. Like, no, I'm doing okay. Oh. There's money in the indie scene now. And I think, like, TNA's got to realize that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We keep on calling for the demise. It keeps on not happening. So, you know, the slow paper cuts of death keep on happening for TNA.
Unfortunately. But. Eventually bleed out, but they've got strong financials again, so. Ugh. Well, we actually talked about TNA without actually just saying, you know, to hell with them, so that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Different.
Well, I will mention that I got ready for Columbus Crew season starts this weekend. So, I was drinking some Land Grant Glory, which is the beer that they made specifically for the crew, which is a hoppy wheat ale. And I enjoy it. It's not very hoppy, but it is very wheaty. So, yeah, it's a good beer. It's a low ABV beer. I don't have the can with me, so I don't remember what it is offhand.
Well, I'm drying up for a few weeks, because... Birthday weekend. Yeah.
Oh, and you know what? I forgot. Speaking of that, since mine is this weekend, Stunt Granny mentioned to me about tickets still being available for Columbus.
Yes.
For the NXT this weekend.
Oh.
Holy shit. Like, it's $75 a ticket.
Wow. Where's it at?
It's now called Express Live. It's the main, the in-town amphitheater, but they also have, the stages are kind of back-to-back. They have an indoor stage and an outdoor stage.
Oh.
So they obviously are indoors.
Well. Hell, it was almost 80 degrees here today, so...
But, I guess they probably could have done it outside, considering the weather right now. It's in the mid-50s today, so... It wouldn't be that terrible to wrestle outside. But, yeah, they're doing it in that venue, and, I mean, it probably fits maybe about 2,500 or so. I was trying to remember what we paid when we went to Dallas, and I'm just like... Man, this just seems a little too expensive.
Oh my god, yeah, that's way too expensive. When you put it like that, yeah, I think our NXT tickets in Dallas were $30.
Yeah, because the other seats were $50. And that's $75, and I mean, and the only ones left are, I could do standing room, which is $20, but... I don't feel like standing for the whole damn event.
No, not at all.
So, the $75 option is the only option left. It's just like, nah, man, I think I'm good. Like, I like NXT, and I mean, it's probably not going to be, because I believe last year wasn't a full NXT squad that was down here, because they do Columbus and Cleveland, and they have different people at different places.
Yeah. Yep.
So, well, yeah, I'm paying like twice what I paid to go to NXT TakeOver Dallas.
For just a live event. You know, it sounds bad, but just a live event.
Yeah. I'm good. Because I'm also, that means I'm not just shucking out 75, I'm shucking out 150. And
true.
That's okay. We're good. Plus whatever the fees were going to be, which probably gets that close to two bills. So, yeah. I'll find something else to do Thursday night. Actually, I have tickets to the Blue Jackets game Thursday night.
Oh, okay. Hey, I sent it over. I didn't look at dates or anything. You hadn't mentioned it. So I was like, I wonder if he even knows they're in town.
Well, and they keep on doing it in conjunction with the Arnold Classic.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they did the one, because I think this is the third year now that they've done something. Because the first year they did something just at the convention center. In the last 2 years, Express Live is just, I don't know, four blocks or so from the convention center. So it's nearby, and a lot of stuff kind of happens all over that area. So yeah, it's kind of connected to the Arnold Classic, so yeah, they're always going to have something now my birthday weekend around here.
Alright. You got anything planned outside of that?
Dentist appointment.
Getting old, you know. Getting those older birthdays is always such a rousing experience. So.
I actually took off work for the first time ever.
I think that's neat. I'm doing that next year, I think, for the first time ever. It's on a Friday.
Well, yeah, and that's it. It's a Friday. Things are could be peachier. So.
Yeah, my birthday is actually Friday next year. Nice. So, usually I get screwed because of leap year.
Oh.
So, it usually almost always messes it up, so. Yeah. So I'm drying up for a bit. No beer pictures for me for about a week or two. Well, I mean, it's also, we're recording this Tuesday. Come on. It's Friday, Saturday's around the corner. So there's a brewery 40 minutes away called Ghostface Brewing. I just want to go up there and check it out. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. That does get submitted this week. The memorial beer for Cayenne Pepper, Pepper Porter, gets submitted this week for brewing taste or for tasting. So, nice. with any good luck, that will get brewed commercially. So,
cool.
That would be pretty fun.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
So, Sun Cranny Brewing, right around the corner.
Yeah, we'll take that one off there then, so.
Okie dokie, grandkids. Yeah. Have a good night.
Peace out.